Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to this wonderful service of worship this morning. Please go down the hall after the service to enjoy a cup of the Brew Crew's finest and a dash of conversation thrown in for good measure to get the new year off right. Happy 2020. The next chapter of the Luke Bible study for beginners is Tuesday at 7 p.m. in my office. If you're interested, talk to me. There's always room for more, and it's just the second week, so it's okay to slip in. There's lots of good stuff happening in the bulletin, including more information on the Bible study. Annual reports are due on Friday the 10th. Offering envelopes are still in the hallway to be picked up. Fund script can be ordered after church today. The miracle on 34th Street this year was the rummage sale final total of $10,833. Amazing. Find out more in the bulletin how that was possible. There's an old-time sing-along plan for Sunday afternoon, January 26th. Should be lots of fun. Pancake supper needs some help. Anyone here ever wanted to be a dining room manager? Oh, we've already got one. Awesome. Okay, sorry you didn't speak up quick enough. Karen Short. Awesome. What about publicity? Are we still looking? Keith, there you go. I was going to say, it's always, people love to eat, so it's an easy sell. You know, the publicity job is an easy sell. On the way out, don't forget to pick up your star. There's a little basket there with stars in. They are from the family Christmas Eve service. See the note in the bulletin for the importance of your star word on the back. You may find that interesting. Pick one up on the way out. And some sad news, if you did not know, Lois Skinner died on December 24th, Christmas Eve. And the funeral service is this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Brant Street Funeral Home for Smiths, and the visitation is the hour before. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family?
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us now recognize God's presence in words. Arise and shine, for your light has come. After a long and cold night, God's bright radiance has risen for you. Let us pray. God of life, we come to worship. May we see through the wrapping paper, the festive trees, and the glass ornaments to see the Christ child among us, born as one of us. Discover the child in all the epiphany moments of our living and worshiping here. Then send us out to reveal your promise to the world. Amen. Our next hymn is number 74. What child is this? Number 74. Would
will sing. Haste, haste to bring him law, or the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, if the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, in whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him law, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come one and all to own him, the King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, in whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him law, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Please be seated. The beginning of a new year is always a good time to do some reflection on our lives and setting goals. And so we mirror the importance of reflection in saying, I'm sorry, in our service of worship. Let us pray. Loving God, for all of the times you have revealed yourself to us, but we have failed to notice. For all the guiding lights you have sent to intercede, but we have ignored.
We seek forgiveness.
Take a moment to think about the ways God might be trying to speak to you through the events of your everyday life. Amen. And now we highlight the most important part of the service, at least for me, the assurance of God's never-ending love. Remember and be assured, the God who created all things created us in love and is still at work in the world. Let us rejoice and be open to God's nudging. Amen. We'll now have our first reading.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions, Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him. And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star that they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were, what joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
Thank you. We continue on in Matthew's Gospel with the story of the Magi. And just in case you might be wondering, we still have the Christmas banners up. They're beautiful. We don't get to see them for very long, but we are still in the season of Christmas. Do you know how many days are in the season of Christmas, the church here? Thank you, 12. And how do you know that? The song, absolutely. The 12 days of Christmas goes along with there's only 12 days in the season of Christmas. We will put up the Epiphany banners, even though we're reading that part of the Christmas story this morning, for next week, because the 6th of January, which is tomorrow, is Epiphany. And I think it's the Greek Orthodox Church, is it not, that celebrate the 6th as Christmas? All the Orthodox churches. So I always thought, I've tried desperately to convince Margot we should celebrate Christmas on the 6th because you could get all the Boxing Day sales, but it hasn't worked yet. So beginning at verse 13, the escape to Egypt. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." When Herod realized the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave order to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. And this was done in accordance with what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. "A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream, so he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene. Thanks be to God for these words.
In that little town.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you watch the evening news? Anybody here watch evening news? Awesome, thank you. How many of you get most of your news from newspapers? Or do you do both? Thank you. Any online shoppers here? I meant get the news online, but any do the online? There you go. Thank you very much. Have any of you gotten tired of watching and reading the news because it's so depressing? There's a few. Thank you. Kind of had enough. My name is Alan Warren, and today's message is the Magi story, the life and times of refugee. And thank you for coming here this morning. It's always really busy at Christmas, so thank you for getting the energy to be up. Today, you will learn an important distinction in this passage from Matthew, referring to the troubling events of the death of the children in Bethlehem. You will learn how Sesame Street is helping refugee children in the Middle East, and you will learn a way to disarm the fear that separates us. Can I tell you a little bit of my own story this morning? Thank you. Margo and I really don't watch the evening news that much. Mainly because we tape our TV programs, it's late when we get home, have supper, so we're kind of watching them when the news is on. So I get most of my news from the newspaper, and I have to tell you, commuting has cut into my newspaper time, because usually I was home before Margo, and I use that time to read the paper. So now my paper reading time or catch-up time is usually Saturday or Monday morning when I get a chance to relax and read the paper. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at times of some of the good news stories you find on television or in the newspaper. There's one outside my door. I've posted it, and maybe you saw it, of Jeff Gordon, the famous NASCAR driver, replacing part of that stolen collection from an autistic man in Hamilton. So, I mean, that was an incredible good news story. I have another one for you today, but I'm leaving it for the message. So my question for you today, it's 2020, right? Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure I'm in the right year. Could any of you use some good news? Awesome. So what I want you to do this morning, your question is, think of a good news story that you've read about or seen in the news on television and share it with the person around you. Or you can think about it, but share a good news story that you've heard or read about with someone around you. Go ahead. Please stop. Thank you. Maybe during coffee time you can keep the buzz going and continue to share good news stories. We need to do that. Now, can anybody shout out in a word or two? What was your good news story?
I'm going to be a great-grandmother again.
A great-grandmother again. Awesome. Thank you. What was the other one?
Me too.
I'm here. Thank you. Any other good news stories?
Rummage sale.
Absolutely. So we need to, the glasses we use to look at the world, don't you agree, affect our lives. So look and tell good news stories. Now, in the story from Bethlehem in Jesus' day, you need to know Bethlehem was a very, very small village. So imagine the headlines in the Bethlehem Chronicle. Visitors from the east come to town to find a baby boy. Good news story? Awesome story. Unfortunately, a few weeks or a couple months later, the headline was, Herod kills 18 children. Imagine the horror. Imagine the mother's inconsolable grief. A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children, and she refuses to be comforted, for they are dead. The cruelty in the world. Now, because Bethlehem was a very small village, scholars believe that no more than 20 boys of age 2 and under were killed. And the storyteller's companion of the Bible makes a very good distinction in this passage from Matthew. Matthew uses the fulfillment formula a lot, and it usually begins with the Greek word hina, in order that, indicating the events occurred in order that Scripture be fulfilled. Now, Matthew uses this when the angel tells Joseph that Mary will have a child, when they need to flee to Egypt, and when they return home. Please notice that when Matthew speaks of Rachel crying for her children, Matthew replaces in order that with the word so. And as the author said, it's very theologically significant. Matthew does not suggest that the murder of the children took place in order that Scripture be fulfilled. No, the cause of the children's death was Herod's wickedness, not a divine mandate. So rather than trying to explain the brutal event with some glib explanation, Matthew found solace in this passage from Jeremiah. And Matthew offers the solace of those who had suffered in the past to provide solace for those grieving in the present. I found that very, very helpful. Matthew, there's nothing sentimental in Matthew's Christmas story. There's no chorus of angels singing peace on earth, goodwill to all people. Matthew is willing to address the brutality of the world, of the daily news, head on. He knows we live in a world where tyrants do kill innocent children, families, civilians, bomb hospitals and schools. Look at the war, the ongoing war in Syria. Yet Matthew still has the courage to offer us Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Shared tears shed at the cruelty of the world. Shared tears when Rachel is crying for her children who have died. And shared tears when Jesus is nailed to the cross. God knows very well about the cruelty of the world, yet still offers hope and is right there beside us weeping. We are not alone in those moments. Now this morning, I want to offer you some hope in the form of a furry red ball. How many of you have ever heard of Elmo? Anybody ever heard of Elmo? Thank you. Who is Elmo? Thank you, a Sesame Street character. Have any of you watched Elmer or The Grouch or Big Bird on television with grandkids, nieces, nephews? And you can even confess when you want to cheer yourself up, you sneak the view yourself, you know? Well, in November, Margot and I were flipping TV channels in search of something to watch the end of the month. And lo and behold, there's Elmo on the screen. Are you kidding me? It's Barbara Walters doing a 60-minute show on Sesame Street. Sesame Street applied and got a $100 million MacArthur grant to help refugee children in the Middle East. Did you know there are not just that, thank you, that 65 out of the 65 million displaced people in the world, over half are children. Refugee figures are presently at their highest since the Second World War. When Jesus fled to Egypt, he only stayed a few years, 3 or 4. The average stay for people today in refugee camps, any guesses? 5 years, thank you. Any others? 10 years, thank you. Much better. 10 to 15 years is the average stay in refugee camps. Of the billions of dollars spent on refugees, only 2% is spent on education. Much more pressing needs, housing, clothing, medical, and only a very, very small sliver of the 2% goes for early childhood development. Yet we know that if we do not give young children the tools to deal with the toxic stress and trauma that refugees face, it will have lifelong repercussions. And believe it or not, through the MacArthur grant, Sesame Street is trying to do just that. So this is my good news story today, and I hope you enjoy this clip from the ABC that helps to explain what Sesame Street is doing.
What a thrill this was.
I'm so happy to meet you, Elmo.
It's very nice to meet you.
Hi.
If you're happy and you know it, stamp your feet.
Elmo is a megastar like few others.
Ta-da!
He's been a fixture on Sesame Street for over 30 years.
He's back, Rick.
Delighting generations of children and adults alike.
What happened?
How are your friends on Sesame Street?
Everybody on Sesame Street is having a really good time. La 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 la.
There's so much goodness for kids in the good times Elmo and his friends have on Sesame Street. And now, they and the team at the Sesame Workshop are all embarking on an amazing new adventure. They're working with the International Rescue Committee to bring hope, hope in the form of education, to the millions of children whose lives have been torn apart by the nightmare of the war in Syria. It's the largest humanitarian crisis of our time. More than 5 million people have fled Syria since 2011, many seeking shelter in refugee camps in neighboring Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan.
These are children with the ideas to make something of their lives, and we're determined to give them the chance.
Earlier this year, Elmo and his furry buddy Grover traveled to a refugee camp in Jordan to meet with some of the kids who now call that place home.
Elmo realized when he was there that all kids are pretty much the same. You know, we have differences, like Elmo has red fur, and Dana have red fur, but we like to have fun together.
Did you think the children that you met over there were sad?
Well, you know, Elmo thought thought, yeah, that maybe some of the kids over there were sad, but Elmo tried to do his best to cheer them up and make them smile.
Sesame Workshop and the IRC are building local learning centers in the camps, making home visits, too.
Education is a haven for people who have lost everything. And for children, it gives them just an ounce of normality that can give them the chance to rebuild their lives.
And they're producing a new version of Sesame Street in Arabic, aimed at reaching children in Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan, especially the refugee kids.
We will also do what Sesame Street does best, and that's modeling inclusion and acceptance.
And you may not know this, there are already Sesame Streets all over the world. From Golly Golly Sim Sim in India to Plaza Sesamo in Mexico and Jima Jia in China. You can find the same kind of educational Muppet magic on six continents reaching countless children. And Sesame Workshop often develops new Muppets, local characters created to address the needs of that culture. Take this little charmer.
Oh, hello, friends.
From Sesame's South African show, Takalani Sesame.
One in four children was affected by AIDS. We ended up creating the first ever HIV-positive Muppet. Her name was Cammy.
The other children at school don't want to play with me because I'm HIV-positive.
We were able to teach children that you couldn't catch AIDS from playing with Cammy. But most of all, we were able to give children a lexicon with which they could talk about HIV. Another great example is in Afghanistan, where only a third of girls are educated. When we created our first local Muppet, we thought long and hard, but we knew she was going to be a girl.
You know I'm a girl who's going to change the world.
She's going to change the world. She's going to make this world a better one.
Little boys who watch test 30% higher on gender equity, thinking it's okay for their sister to go to school. And that's the power of media and Muppets.
Are you thinking of a character for this Sesame Street who would be a refugee?
Yes, but so much thought and research will go into what this character ultimately becomes.
Did you learn something in that video clip? Wasn't that amazing that, Sesame Street in Afghanistan is a girl? You know, and it's the boys who partake in Sesame Street, 30% higher, it's okay for their sisters to go to school. Like, wow, I found that just amazing. And the fact they're now going to refugee camps in the Middle East to help children depackage the stress they've been through is awesome. So, I don't know about you, I thought that was an incredible good news story. You can go on YouTube and you can find other clips about this. It's wonderful. Now, nothing seems to stir up emotions these days more than the topic of immigration and refugees. But as one UN person stated, there is no simple solution, there's no magic wand, yet there is a lot we can do to help make things better. And he said all the countries we are talking about were signatures to the 1951 agreement that refugees are the responsibility of the world. Any reason why they are fleeing their home? Why do you think they're leaving? War, thank you. Any others? Persecution? Thank you. If you're a minority, absolutely.
Sometimes drought.
Sometimes drought, absolutely. Starvation. Now, something that surprised me when I watched one of the clips, migration is nothing new. The movement of people. Think of it. People used to follow buffalo herds. When food dried up in one area, they would migrate to another area. Way before we started putting all these dividing lines, on our world. And before the world maybe has become more crowded. What I also didn't know is the world faced a crisis of this proportion before. Any idea when it was? Thank you, flood. I'm talking about numbers. It was after the Second World War. Huge numbers of refugees and immigration. Our passage of scripture today provides a key insight for dealing with this world refugee crisis. What was King Herod's response when the wise men inquired about a new baby who was going to be king of the Jews? Do you remember his response? What? Tell me about it. Why did he want to know? So he could go worship him, he said. The word says he was afraid. Fear. The next line is important. And so was all of Jerusalem. Do you want to know why they were all afraid? Because when Herod was afraid, he did terrible things. He also did some very generous things in his reign. He helped melted his gold plates and cups to help feed people in his starvation. But later in his life, when he became very paranoid, he did terrible things. Fear makes us, all of us, do terrible things. It caused Herod to kill all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and under. Now, I've just finished reading an incredible book called Love Over Fear that I'm hoping to do as a Lenten Bible study. The subtitle is Facing Monsters, Befriending Enemies, and Healing Our Polarized World. Every time you look in the news, it's, you know, liberals against conservatives, Democrats versus, you know, our polarized world. Now, recently, an acquaintance of Dan White, who's the author of the book, posted on their Facebook that refugees are rapists. Dan goes on to say, "My interest was piqued because my wife and I have spent hundreds of hours caring for refugees in our cities. We've shared meals with beautiful folks from the Congo, from Burma, Syria, and Afghanistan. We've listened to gut-wrenching stories of families fleeing genocide and mothers watching their children starve." Imagine that. Can't imagine that. "We've personally," this is Dan, saying, "we've never met a refugee rapist. I'm sure they exist, as do American rapists, if that's the sloppy language we are using," he says. "So I called my acquaintance cold turkey." Obviously took a lot of courage. "He was shocked I called him. Gently I asked if he had any friends who were refugees. Followed by stammering in silence, he confessed." Where did he get his information? Any guesses?
The internet.
Thank you. "On the internet. Did your research include any personal presence?" "No." "My suggestion was that he suspend his opinion until he had at least attempted to close the void relationally. And then I invited him to come for a visit, to share a meal, and meet my refugee friends." Fear thrives in the voids between us. In the distance between us, fear wants to create monsters out of image bearers. Isn't that a great line? Listen again. Fear wants to create monsters. Create who?
Monsters.
Thank you. Out of image bearers. Who are image bearers? All of us. Earlier in the book, Dan reminded us that all people are created in the image of God, and as such, we are image bearers. Matthew, in his gospel, tackles the fear and cruelty in our world head on. He calls all who believe or observe Jesus' birth to renew their hope even when there is no apparent reason to believe in the goodness or the providence of God in the face of the cruelty that the Herods of the world can instill. But as he goes through the book, he says in the birth, the life, the teaching, the example, the death and resurrection of Jesus, there are signs of hope, signs enough for continued belief in the goodness of God. And that maybe, just maybe, as we do what Jesus did, if you flip through the Gospels, they're full of stories of Jesus gathering together with others. Do you know when he gathers what he usually does? Breaks bread, has a meal together. They gather around table. Jesus was incredibly criticized for who he ate with. Do you know what happens when you have a meal with someone? Yeah, thank you. You get to know them better. And over time, you might even become friends. When we close the gap between us, we begin to see our perceived monsters as image bearers. And we open the possibility of God's grace to work in our lives, of becoming friends, and reminding one another we are not forgotten, regardless of the horrendous things that might have happened to us and the cruelty in the world. That we matter, that God is with us, and that God loves us, and there's still hope in the world when we break bread together. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 27 in the hardcover book, Tomorrow Christ is Coming, number 27.
Created make peace on earth. God will fulfill love's purpose, and this shall be the sign. We shall find Christ among us as woman, child, or man.
Please be seated. I think that song just has excellent words. The Magi traveled from afar to offer gifts fit for a king. What gifts do we offer our sovereign one? What do we hope that these gifts will do for our community and our world? We'll now have our morning's offering. We're going to do something a little different this morning for the pastoral prayer. We recognize the Magi struck out on an adventure, something new for them, and so we're doing something new. And if you have a pen, get a pen out, please, and get your bulletin ready, because eventually you're going to need to maybe write something on your bulletin. You're going to jot down some notes, because tomorrow is January 6th. It's Epiphany. Now, we don't know how many Magi followed the star, but we're told there are three gifts. What were they? Thank you. Thank you. Gold is a precious gift fit for a royal child. Frankincense is incense that symbolizes worship or prayer or divine presence. Myrrh is a healing oil that symbolizes Jesus' healing human presence. Yeah, I've heard that too. I'm going with the Advent Unwrapped stuff today, okay? So it's healing presence. But yes, it's also been used for embalming. So each gift, and thank you for bringing that up. I was surprised too. Each gift signifies a different name for the baby in the manger. Gold, for one who'd be called king. Perfume or incense, for one who'd be worshipped as the Son of God. Anointing, myrrh or oil, for the one who'd be known as the anointed, the Christ. Now, this is where you need your pen. Think about people in your neighborhood with whom you could share these gifts in a way that works for our time. Gold, and jot that down, make a donation to a family in need or an organization that provides shelter for the homeless, the poor, or even refugees. Remember, Jesus was born in a stable, soon became a refugee. So do a little homework, make a donation to homeless, poor, or refugees. Frankincense, okay? Write a prayer for Epiphany, which is January 6th. Naming the people or situations in our world that are close to your heart. So you're going to write a prayer for Epiphany. And myrrh, visit those in your community who may be in hospital or at home facing a serious illness. In other words, visit someone who needs a healing presence. So gold, donation, help poor refugees or refugees. Frankincense, prayer. Write a prayer for people or situations close to your heart. Have you been reading the evening news? What struck you? And then finally, myrrh, visit a person that's not well or going through a hard time. Okay? And by your presence, you're extending a healing presence to someone else. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think about that, and then we'll do the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Let us now join together in the vision Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 87, I Am the Light of the World.
people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. The song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To find the lost and lonely one, to heal the broken soul with love, to feed the hungry children with warmth and good food, to feel the earth below the sky above. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To free the prisoner from all chains, to make the powerful care, to rebuild the nations with strength of goodwill, to see God's children everywhere. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To bring hope to every task you do, to dance at a baby's new birth, to make music in an old person's heart, to sing to the colors of the earth. I am the light of the world.
Hold you as you go forth into this new year.